Okay, let's get started. Well, welcome to everyone here and online. And if you can, like, and you're decently dressed, like, you can turn on your video so we can see you. Good morning, Kim.
Morning.
Good morning. Hey, Zane.
Good morning.
Hi, Lulu. Let me just start off with a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for this day. It's a wonderful day you've made. Lord, thank you for the gathering of your people, Lord, that we can learn together, we can pray together, we can grow together, Lord. And so thank you, Lord. Would you be here with us, Lord? We know you're here always, Lord, but we especially invite you here, Lord, that you would be free to move in our discussion and our talking and sharing and whatever you're wanting to speak to each of us and to all of us, Lord. And so thank you for this day. We all these things you need. All right. So I want to spend the first few minutes just a little bit of review, like, of the homework we had last time. We're looking at the learn list and looking at one of two things that you may or may have not started. And so just by the smile, I feel like maybe not. Okay. But if you've looked at it and something piqued your interest, okay, we're going to break out in breakout groups, maybe groups of 2 to 3, and just share. If you have taken a step, great, share that. Okay. If you completed it, which I don't expect everyone to finish that, but share that. And if you haven't started, that's fine. Like, look at that list. If you have it, I emailed, you might have to search your email, or it's just anything that comes to mind that you want to learn, like one way you want to engage in that process. So,
can you share a screen on it right now? I was thinking, even if you show it real quick, we could all take a picture,
okay,
as a refresher for everybody.
All right.
I think that would help.
You're making me pull this up.
Sorry.
Okay. Okay. So that is the list. Okay. Take a look again, okay. And oh yeah, okay.
My machine's ready.
That's all of us.
All day, you know, everyone you need for.
Yeah. Trust me, we're older than you probably. But we can maybe take a picture of it on your phone, and then we can talk about it in our groups.
I made it bigger, but then I have to scroll down a little bit more.
I have a paper.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Perfect. Bethany is prepared.
Is the paper still there?
No. Oh, yeah. No, it's there. Right. Perfect. Okay, so we'll break up into breakout groups, and maybe for like 5 minutes, and just briefly share like what steps you have taken or what you would like to take. Okay. All right, so can you guys share this? We'll share together, not something that you've done, but something that you have learned on your own while doing this assignment. Can anyone share something that obviously could be related, but something that you learned on your own? Anything? Or something that you've been thinking about on your own? Anyone want to share?
I've learned that, you know, the people that go out in the missions field are special people. They have a calling from God. They're going to go out some places. Well, now it's more difficult with the pandemic, but they go into different places in the world where they may not be welcome. Mm-hmm. It may be risky and I think dangerous in some cases, but they want to spread the gospel. It's in their heart to spread the gospel from God. And they really dedicated their entire life, you know, oftentimes to spread the gospel. And I really think it's special. The ones I've known have been special people. They really have a calling from God, and they just say, I have a calling to go and spread the gospel. And they have to be special people that are really pretty tough and pretty resilient and pretty able to learn foreign languages, foreign cultures. So it's just very impressive. It always impressed me a lot.
Awesome. Anyone else?
Okay, let me share. So from my past experience, when I was reading the biography of these missionary books, I don't know why, but it was, for me, it was kind of hard to understand. I don't know why. So I could not finish a book. I mean, it's like, so last night after I borrow your two books. And I'm kind of excited because I feel that the language, you know, is so easy to understand. So my hope is, you know, this time I will finish the book this time.
Okay, great. Cindy, you help?
Yeah, I was just telling Mabel that I was very humble kind of for this whole process. And when I was looking at your table of books, I was like, yeah, I'm going to start with the intro Bible because I would like to just learn more. I can't say that I am very aware as I would like to be. So I was like, yeah, I'll just start from the beginning, you know, and I think just to have a humble attitude that, you know, I need to, this is something I, you know, need to begin to open my mind to. You know, and not think that, oh, I know what it is or whatever, right? Okay. And the second thing that James and I were discussing, and this is not like, it hasn't been done yet, but it's, I guess, kind of the promote learning at church, number 5. I remember just one of our missionaries that we support is joined them, and every time she would come, she would just really bless me by her sharing and everything. And I just remember that a lot of the times when she would come, she would be at our prayer meeting, like with our prayer meeting group, because you know, these are the people that would pray for her. But I was thinking, like, why not have it be a bigger group? Because I mean, it's a church, it's something our church should be aware of, not just our small group of, you know, prayer warriors or whatever, right? And especially since we're going through missions as, you know, like learning all together, that it would be great if we could get more missionaries to use it, a broader group of our church. Mm-hmm. Because I think, like, you know, if you weren't at the prayer meeting, you would have missed so much of that enriching sharing from them, and it would always inspire me. So hopefully, I haven't talked to anybody about the prayer meeting, but like, it would be great to hear from our missionaries.
Awesome.
All together. Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to take that segue into, now we're kind of leaving the learning. Obviously, we're not stopping learning, but we are now going to talk about prayer. And we did pray for UPGs, Unreached People Groups around the world a couple weeks ago, but I wanted to start talking about prayer too. Okay, so let me just ask you guys these questions, just kind of general questions. Is like, on the top of prayer, like, why do we pray? Like, if this is God's desire that he would be known throughout the world and be worshiped throughout the world, like, why do we need to pray? Like, isn't God going to make that happen? Like, why prayer? I don't have the right answer, so just
I think to me, when you, for great emotion, and then you get yourself involved. Such as like if you're talking to a friend, if you're just standing on the sideline, yeah, you hear everything, but then you're not involved. But then if you join in, get yourself involved, and that will become part of your life.
Okay.
And I think that wants us to pray about it so that we can be part of that thing.
Okay. Good. And what better way to join with God, right, than prayer? Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts? Why do we pray? Anyone online?
We pray for God to hear us, even though sometimes we don't pray for the right reasons, unfortunately. But we want God to hear us if something's touching our heart specifically, you know, for like an unreached people group or a friend or people out in the mission field or even others, you know, for various issues that they're going on in their lives, a marriage issue or something, or, you know, work issue or something, and like that, personal health issue. Like you want one to hear us, and if other people are involved in a group or chain, more power. I mean, many of us have had health issues in the past, and God's heard either someone in our group or ourselves, and he's healed us. I mean, it's a lot better, but in this case, I think people are going into, you know, mission fields around the world, I mean, putting themselves in a lot of danger. And in many cases, God, I think, will give them the tools they need and the safety that they need and the training. But without it, you know, maybe you're not in the right place, you know, personally or otherwise. So I hear you, but you have to go with the right part in your heart and the right reasons, not the wrong reasons.
Okay. Good. So let me ask a kind of follow-up question, like if to everyone, if you don't pray for these things, let's say we don't pray for missionaries and we don't pray for their health and well-being and whatnot, then does God not do anything? Does he not provide? What do you guys think? Wait, we're just asking a question, like, why? If this is God's heart, for, you know, for missions and for him to be known around the world, like, why does he ask us to pray? Like, what? Why wouldn't he just accomplish it?
So we can be part of it.
Okay, good. Well, similar to Mabel's, we can be a part of that. Okay. Good. We'll explore a little bit more on that, but I want us to read an article, and I'm gonna share it. And so I want us, maybe we'll go around and take a paragraph or two. Let me share that here. And actually, for those people here, you could, it's too small, so. Kevin, can I have a paper copy? So you can just pass that around. So this is one of my favorite articles from Perspective, so I did like steal it from them, so I can't distribute it, but at least we'll read a section of it, and then we'll talk about it. So Kevin, if you want to start off, read one or two paragraphs.
Sure. Giant trees stood on the banks of the Awash River in the Parrot Valley, about 2 hours' drive from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. They have been there for generations and seem eternal. Unable to bring the water in the river to the higher level of the land, the people who lived in the surrounding area suffered through penance over the years. In their suffering, the people looked to the tree for help. They worshiped the towering giant, believing a spirit had given it divine powers. Adults would kiss its great trunk, as they passed by. They spoke of the tree in hushed, reverential tones, and the children said, "This tree saved us." When World Vision began a development project in 1989, including an irrigation system to make the valley's parched earth bloom for the first time, the great tree stood like a forbidding sentinel of an old order. It presided over the community of people, enslaving them through fear. The people were convinced that the spirit must be appeased by sacrificing animals and observing taboos. The World Vision workers saw how the villagers worshiped the tree and recognized that this idol was a barrier to the community entering Christ's kingdom and being transformed.
Christina can continue.
One morning, as the World Vision sat praying, one of Jesus' promises struck them as a particular
role.
If you have faith, you can say to the tree, "Be taken up and removed, and it will obey you." Matthew 21:21. They began to pray that God would bring down the menacing Goliath. Soon, the whole community knew that the Christians were praying about the tree. 6 months later, the tree began to dry up. Its leaves disappeared, and finally, it collapsed. It collapsed like a stricken giant into the river. The people were astonished. "Your God has done this," they said. "Your God has dried up the tree." Within a few weeks, about 100 villagers received Christ because they had seen his power displayed in the spectacular answer to the Christian prayers.
Continue.
The spiritual nature of social problems. Christians have been divided for years over the most effective means of transforming our world. Is it through verbal witness or social action? In truth, the two cannot be separated. Without both, there simply is no good news. One thing ties them together, prayer. When we pray for God to save souls and also to bring his justice to bear on the issues of the day, evangelism and social action are linked in the most essential way. The God who inspires prayer for the world stirs the hearts of his people both to share his good news and to demonstrate love and mercy. Wherever we see people coming to Christ, health improving, economic opportunity increasing, and kingdom values growing, we find that believers have been praying. Because of the nature of evil in the world, prayer is essential.
Okay, you can stop there. And let's go on to dealing with supernatural for evil forcefully. That's on like two pages after.
Okay, I bring something up, wasn't it? I remember some one of the Bible stories in the past where there was a fig tree that gave someone shade.
Uh-huh.
And God caused it to wither up and die.
Uh-huh.
We've actually seen this before.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. Dealing with supernatural evil forcefully. Evil spirits cannot be reformed or negotiated with. They can only be expelled in a forceful way that has to be considered an act of spiritual violence. We think of Jesus as a model for a peace-loving, non-violent approach towards enemies. Yet he has taught that we are only to turn the other cheek to human enemies only, not demonic foes. He never allowed Satan and the demons to have their way. Instead, he took a forceful, authoritative, even violent posture at every turn, rebuking, resisting, and casting out these demons. He also spoke of the violent struggle and counterattack that would completely become the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Many biblical scholars agree this means that the kingdom has been under attack from violent front. Human beings and their institutions captured and killed John the Baptist. Religious leaders and the Roman authorities executed Jesus. Behind these human forces, however, Jesus saw the one he often called the Prince of this world. He refers to Satan as a strong man who has been bound, and if his captives are to be liberated. Finding a strong man involves violent combat, yet it is a battle that church can win through the power of God. Jesus himself promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. The Apostle Paul, too, emphasized that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this deep, dark world, and against the spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly realms.
That's about to come. prayer is decisive. I'm going to show them what you left on.
Prayer is a decisive weapon in the struggle and is often aggressive environment. The forces of injustice, oppression, and war are so overwhelming that all of our efforts to combat them will fail unless we first invite God into the fray. Until we have achieved victory in prayer, it is hopeless to engage the outer world in combat. I am not saying that prayer is all that is necessary to change the world. Many evangelical Christians have used prayer for too long as a substitute for action, dumping back on God the responsibility for doing what he has already commanded us to do throughout the Bible. Yet, neither is social action a substitute for prayer. There is still a profound air of mystery surrounding prayer and how God uses our praying to transform the world. Theologian Walter Weeks writes, prayer is not magic. It does not always work. It is not something we do, but a response to what God is already doing within us and the world. Our prayers are the necessary opening that allows God to act without violating our freedom. Prayer is the ultimate act of partnership with God.
And just one more paragraph, either one.
The paradoxically, the most aggressive and powerful spiritual warfare must be waged out of great personal brokenness and weakness. A primary example of this is Jesus' triumph over the forces of darkness through his utter humiliation and powerlessness on the cross. Similarly, we are strongest against evil when we come to the cross with Jesus, confessing and renouncing our own cooperation with the powers of darkness.
Great. Okay, we'll end there for the reading. But what is there anything from this article that impresses you?
Can you zoom in? If you others can see what they're
anything that you got from this article? Any point that stood out to you?
We have a responsibility.
Say that again?
We have a responsibility.
Okay. Well, responsibility. Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say earlier when you're asking about prayer, like why prayer for like sharing with others about the faith is so important. And the simplest thing that I thought was prayer itself is a reflection of like asking for help, right? Mm-hmm. That's what prayer is. It's not more complex than that. When we pray, we ask God for help, and we don't understand why God wants us to pray when we know that God already knows our thoughts before we say them. But the posture of prayer, the act of prayer, is simply saying, God, I know you're great and you're the one, and because of Jesus, you hear me and I need help. And when we call out to him, I think it's a recognition that his power and his goodness can do something. And I love in the part of the article where it says that our prayers are an invitation, like basically asking God to come into the battle with us, right? Somewhere in there, right? It says it's an invitation for God to come into the battle, because when people are not saved and we're trying to bring them the gospel, it is not just a normal, like, how do I communicate this? It's a spiritual battle. And I love that the reminder of prayer is to say, God, we need you. We can't do this alone. We need you to help win someone for you, you know? So, yeah.
Awesome. Any other thoughts from this passage?
I found the one section where it says there somewhere about the people who are using prayer as a substitute and not doing actions. That's kind of surprising. Mm-hmm. That they're showing that people are doing more prayer, which is okay, but they're not doing any action to accompany it. That's kind of shocking in a way. I didn't realize that was so widespread. So mm-hmm. I'm reading that. Can you go to that section, Arthur, get a chance and see where it said somewhere there about the people are praying and not using a substitute, not doing it for action. Oh, okay. It's kind of surprising.
I think
go ahead.
It's harder for us to understand the spiritual world because we try to make sense of it based on what we know of our reality. But I think as Christians, we have to try to understand that the spiritual realm is very different to our reality. And also, I think a good reminder is probably the part in the Bible where the disciples were going about doing Jesus' bidding, right? They went and they tried to do exorcism, I guess, kick out the evil spirit, but you know, the evil spirit whooped their butt and they came crying home to Jesus and like, you know, how come we can't do it? And Jesus said, this time you need to pray about it. But it's not just prayer. You can't just pray your way remotely. You can't be like at home praying out an evil spirit. You have to be like there doing it along with prayer and fasting. So that's the part of the prayer and action together, and also like understanding the spiritual realm is different from how things work in our reality.
Right. Yes, one thing we can do is pray that God gives us insight to the spiritual world and the warfare that goes on. Because you're right, we don't see it, but would God give us eyes to see that? So yes, thank you for sharing that. Anything else? Okay. So I'm gonna share a video. It's about 9 minutes long. We'll watch it together and then we'll have just kind of talk about it in groups. But obviously it's on a strategic prayer. So let us look at that.
In 1922, a group of 300 Bohemian Moravians fleeing persecutions fled to East Germany and were blessed by a wealthy aristocrat named Count Zinzendorf to build a small community on his estate. Zinzendorf named this community Herrnhut, which means the watch of the Lord.
One of the greatest stories of the impact of night and day prayer, 100 years of prayer, that led to the sending of missionaries to the ends of the earth.
On August 13, 1727, the Moravians experienced a powerful visitation of the Holy Spirit during a communion service. It is a baptism of love, where God's love was shed abroad in their hearts and poured out in love for one another. Following this, the Holy Spirit compelled them to build a canopy of united, strategic, and sustainable prayer that continued for 100 years. As they prayed night and day, including men, women, and children, God began to mark missionaries and send them to the nations of the earth. 200 plus missionaries responded and helped to establish over 5,000 missionary settlements around the world. What compelled them to pray night and day and go on gospel mission was the worth of Jesus. Their purpose and mandate was to win for the Lamb who was slain, the due reward for his sufferings, crying out, "Our Lamb has conquered. Let us follow him."
Being in Herrnhut, where arguably to me, the greatest mission movement, when you think of what they did in the 1700s, early 1700s, what they did is as remarkable as the Book of Acts.
How can a movement start in an unknown place like this and affect the whole world?
Zinzendorf was one of those guys. He was before his time, maybe 300 years. You know, what he saw was a combination of unity, of prayer, and of missions, and of deep spirituality.
This has really impacted me, and I said to myself, I want to be one like one of those. I want to be impacted by prayer, and I want to be a man who impacts people's life through the power of prayer.
And then their dedication, they picked up the cross and would follow him. They had endurance. So intensity in depth prayer, prayer in the spirit, listening to God, praying God's prayers. God commands blessing on unity. And unity in prayer seems to be the starting point of something major.
The church being united across the traditions and the generations, being committed to a lifestyle of prayer so that we're not just one with each other, but with Him Himself, with God. And out of that unity, God's going to share His heart and His empowerment to fulfill His mission, the fulfillment of the Great Commission.
Jesus gave the Great Commission, "Go ye therefore and disciple the nation," because 19 chapters earlier, He gave really the only solution to the challenge of the harvest when He said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore." We'll never have success in the "go ye therefore" without the "pray ye therefore."
The link is that prayer will lead you to a deeper and active relationship with the Lord. And there's some consequences that you cannot avoid. Worship, service, and missions.
Quite exciting. This the opportunity for so many people in so many churches get connected that brings people together to come to God to prayer.
God is also calling the church to a place, to a time of worship. As we worship the Lord, He releases the power and the anointing to go forth and preach the gospel to different parts of the world.
As we look at the world today, the main command within the Great Commission is to make disciples and teach them to observe all things I've commanded you.
And I believe that there's coming now a greater recognition of the movements of prayer and mission and their significance.
Nothing quite as important strategically as the linking of the prayer movement with the missions movement. Our excitement about God's presence with God's purpose. And the steps of obedience that come out of that.
When we pray, people, young and old, everybody gets passionate about sharing Christ with the lost.
He wants the whole world to be filled with His glory, the knowledge of His glory as the waters cover the sea. That's not yet happened. There are still vast areas of the world and people groups that have been unreached. And God is looking, or always has been looking, for someone or some group that will be open to Him, that He can come supernaturally too, and through them he uses ordinary people all the time. Through them He can achieve immense amount of work that will bring glory and honor to Him. He works through children, He works through adults, He works through the humble.
If you really go with the prayer power and then launch out, then you can see that mission and the church planting outreach. That will be exactly the power what we experience in the Bible. Exactly. Because that is the power of prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Main thing is start praying. Start praying. Raising up a praying army and building up a prayer wall.
There are about 12,000 people groups in the world. About half of them have been reached, that is more than 2% believers in them.
I believe the Lord's doing something with the younger generation, because if this generation just combines together, being a globalized one, it will be a huge revival in itself. It will be one of the most easiest way to bring salvation to people you've never known.
God is calling the children and the youth to become future missionaries, and as they pray for the unreached peoples, God's going to call many of them to go. It needs to be intergenerational. both prayer and mission need to be intergenerational. We're partnering with the kids.
What's happening right now is an incredible coming together of the body of Christ. And this is absolutely thrilling because it's no longer me building my kingdom or you building your kingdom. It's together we're building the kingdom. I believe the power of the movement today is the unifying of the body of Christ, our working together under the banner of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And as we lift him up, a lot of things become peripheral. And when the world sees people who love one another and work together, there is something so powerful in it that they are attracted to this in great numbers.
Whenever you have prayer, you will have a fruit of evangelism, because Jesus is the greatest missionary ever. You cannot sit down and talk to the greatest missionary ever without being inflamed by a passion to see the gospel reaching other people.
The degree to which prayer is mobilized will be the degree to which the world is evangelized.
And I can see, you know, when you really want to deliver that beautiful message, you know, people, they're just waiting, and we have to be ready for them.
Prayer integrated with mission is the way I believe that the peoples of the earth will turn to the Lord.
I think God's heart for this generation is complete the task. Take the word of God to the unreached people groups.
I want to go where nobody's getting an opportunity. And if I can't go, I want to encourage others to go and to challenge people from that area of the world to not neglect these people. And that fire burns inside me now that everybody ought to have at least one chance to hear the message of Christ.
Together, but what's your reaction to the video and what we've been talking about?
Arthur, are these the different groups that were listed and the people were talking, they're all different groups? Is this some kind of a consortium or a group that works together? There are a lot of different organizations. Is this just a compilation of all the different organizations, or are they actually working together for a common good?
Yeah, there are tons of organizations, and they do work together, and they do have conferences, and I feel they all know each other in some respects, yes.
I think one of the things for me watching the video was they circle back to prayer a lot, and I think one part you mentioned, one of the speakers mentioned, to start with caring first, right? But we don't just end it with prayer, right? Action follows up, but we have to start it with prayer. Also, another part of the evolution, you know, like preparing the next generation. I think normally what comes to mind here is to prepare them for like the future, like school education and et cetera. Not that those things are bad, but like to think of preparing them for to work with God in his
purpose. Wow. Yeah. Much bigger than the purpose we often think of, right? Yeah. Anything else you resonated with?
I really like the the book that was shared before, some of the paragraph, and this kind of reinforces it, like what they said, like I think the paragraph before said the conclusion was like, until we have achieved victory in prayer, it's hopeless to engage in the outside world in combat. I think it's particularly true even just today. I think the outside world, as it's described, very often aggressive and violent. So, the video kind of reinforces the fact that the importance of prayer, joining prayer with action, because both are necessary.
Yeah, to go along the lines of that, like you mentioned the violence and the world, like watching the video, I felt like there's a sort of violence in prayer. There's like a passion, and there's like, it wasn't just sitting back and, oh God, you do what you do. Yes, we ask God to do, but we ask God to do through us, right? And there's like this almost war. I hate to talk about war when we talk about missions, but there is a kind of warlike mentality. Like we need to ask God and we need to pray passionately. That's something I got out of the video. Anything else? Does anyone feel, how should I say this? Anyone feel guilty, like, for not praying? I know people don't want to admit that, but is there any sense of that? That's your nodding, like, yeah. What?
Yeah, definitely. Like, oh man, especially like our own, like, you know, missionaries that we support, we should be supporting them in prayer, or I should be, you know, helping them, you know, through prayer, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. And maybe the sense of like, we don't do enough, right? Or almost like, I don't do enough, but it always be praying more. I think one aspect is like, normally, I think when Paul mentions, now he knows what he wants, he doesn't look back, he goes forward, keeps running forward. And I think part of the guilty conscience is like what the enemy uses to keep you from actually doing what you need to do, right? Because you always focus on what you're not doing or not doing enough versus what God's telling you to move forward in right now. Like now you know that, right? You have that freedom in your conscience to move forward with it without having that guilt.
Yeah. Right. That's good. I think you mentioned also like we start with prayer, right? We start, and just like Cindy mentioned, like starting with learning, like humbling ourselves and like just learn or pray. Like we start with it, you know. I do want to share something. Like, remember I shared, like, even the first class I was talking to you about, like, my own walk in this journey to missions. Like, and I'll tell you, like, when I share like the hard part about like letting go of certain things like career or money or prestige or those things, that didn't come out just all of a sudden. Like it wasn't just because I was courageous or anything like that, but I'll just share with you that it was through prayer. And for me, I think it started maybe a year before that. And with, I shared before that we were in Boston, like, the kids were young, they were like 4 and 2 at the time, and we were struggling, like, you know, like a young family, like our family wasn't there, no one was there with us. And, often I come home and I feel like I had a busy job and like I had nothing to give, you know? And so I feel, you know, for people, you know, here or otherwise who have young kids, because it's like, it's super hard, right? But it was out of that time where like I felt like I needed to pray, you know, and people encouraged me to pray. And I started praying like 5 minutes every day, 10 minutes every day. And I felt like more and more I prayed, I realized like God was speaking to me, you know, and not that God wasn't speaking to me before that. God was always speaking to me, but I wasn't listening, you know. And I think when I started praying, it became like necessary every day, like to survive. Like I needed that prayer, that time with God to survive even, like cry, like Alexi said, crying for help, you know? And so it grew to 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour. And every day I would do that. And I felt like I needed that. And God would start sharing with me things like that I needed to change. But also more than that, like I think God was showing me like he loved me. I was his child, you know, and that he did everything for me. And so that out of that, like I began opening up, right? And then I grew a lot during that time. And it allowed me the power to like give up those things, right? And so prayer, yes, we pray for unreached people groups. God has asked us to do that. He asked us to pray for workers to send out to unreached people groups, right? But also I encourage you guys all to pray for yourselves too in this regard. Like pray that God would unbind us to the things of this world. And the more we're open to that, the more he starts showing us what are the things that are important, you know, to him, but also of eternal significance. And once I realized that, it became less of a focus of myself, okay? And I can open up to, okay, well, what is your heart, God? And so as you do that, you know, continue with that. Like start, if you don't already do that, and pray, right? Because that's how we become closer to God, right? It's like, also, it's like, you know, if we want to become more like God, well, what do? We have to spend time with God, right? And the best way to spend time with God is through prayer, right? Like if I want to grow closer to my wife and my kids, I need to spend time with them, right? It's very simple. And so, we need to do that. So I know it's time. So I do want to end with a time that we can pray together. So it's always where we talk about prayer, but we don't actually like pray. So, and it's the format of the class, like we have an hour, but I do want us to pray. And there's one quote I want us to emphasize. This quote comes from James Frazier. He was a missionary to the Lisu people in China. And for many years, he went as a missionary and there was no fruit, nothing, no movement at all. But he started praying and he started asking others to pray. And lo and behold, God moved. And the Lisu people, like vast majority are now Christian. You know, it was a huge movement. And so he says, this is what he says. I am not asking you just to help in prayer as a sort of sideline, but I'm trying to roll the main responsibility of this prayer warfare on you. I want you to take the burden of these people upon your shoulders. I want you to wrestle with God for them. Okay. So this is James Frazier talking to his supporters back home. And so that's kind of the challenge I want to leave us with, okay? So let's pray. And if you guys need to go or like, you know, drop off, great. Some of you need to serve and get ready for service, that's great. Just feel free to leave. But I'm just gonna open this time to prayer and then I'll close for us. So online or in person, just, pray. It doesn't have to be long, just anything that's on your heart that you want to pray. So let's pray.
Father, thank you for giving us a chance so that we can directly pray to the Lord. And give them the visions so that we know that this is one mission. Mm-hmm. One mission because of you. One mission is that because you came to this world to save us. And one mission for us to be united and we can go out to the world. For those people that who don't know you, be able to know you more. Mm-hmm. And may all of us fight this. Join this mission together and fight for this spiritual war together. Mm-hmm. And be united because we have you. You already told us that we already won. Mm-hmm. But may God help us to increase more of those unbelievers when they get to know you.
So God, I just want to thank you for this morning, Lord, for the lesson that you taught us, Lord. And yeah, I just want to pray that for some of us, Lord, that we might not know what purpose that you have placed in our life, Lord. And I just pray that over time, Lord, you may reveal it to us. And yeah, Lord, just thank you for all the work that you have done in our life. In your presence, in Jesus' name.
Dear Lord, please can you look out for all those people serving the mission field right now? It's a very kind of risky and dangerous situation because of COVID, but please protect them all. Have success bring the gospel, various unreached peoples around the world. Hope we all in our church community support them as much as possible, give them safety for themselves and their families and their groups. And we hope that sometime this pandemic will be over and they can spread the gospel more easily to people around the world. Please give them protection and safety during this time, dear. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Father, thank you for this morning as we come together to learn of your purpose that you perform on the cross that did not end, Lord. That salvation you've given us, that the reason we're still here, Lord, is to continue to bring the good news to many parts of the world that do not know your name at all. And as we watch these videos with many organizations of the faith that faith and parent missionaries go overseas, and, I pray for us that as we become more aware of what we as brother have to encourage us to pray before you, Lord, that you can work in our hearts and our lives to be a part of this, Lord. And that may or may not include basically going, but I pray that you will help us to have that burden, to carry the responsibility, to have that burden for these many, many groups that do not still know you at all. And I know that just seeing the faces of so many different brothers and sisters of faith, Lord, that is the picture Revelation talks about. And we wait for that day that we can all come and worship you together. But for the time being, you have asked us to be a part of this mission. So please help us individually on our own spiritual journey to engage you in this area. And we don't always have the right answers or the right things to say, but you know, we come before you and pray for us and ask you to help us. Thank you. And pray for this.
Dear Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this time, Lord. And other people have prayed that thank you that we can come to you. Lord, you're our Father. You love us. Lord, we love you. Lord, and you asked us to be united. Lord, you asked us to be united in prayer. Lord, for the people that are on your heart, or people who have not had a chance to hear of your awesome love, your sacrifice, your provision for the world, Lord. And so I ask that you would unite us, Lord, that you would help us to come before you, to cry out before you. Lord, there's so many things that paralyze us. There's so many things that hinder us or distract us from your mission, from where your heart is, Lord. And I pray that for us here in person and online, that you would begin to help us recognize those things that cause us to stumble, cause us to hinder us from your mission, Lord. Lord, would we be a broken people before you so that you would work in us, Lord, and through us, Lord. And so, Lord, I also pray for our youth, Lord, our children, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would raise up missionaries from amongst our youth and children, Lord, to go, Lord. And so help us to prepare them. Help us to prepare for your calling in their lives, Lord. I thank you we have the privilege of doing so, Lord. And so would you direct us to that, Lord? Would you give us leadings toward that, Lord? And I also pray for us older ones, Lord. You're not done with us, Lord, and that you you want to move us, Lord. We may not be there physically in another country, Lord, but you, but that may be the case later in retirement or in, but Lord, help us to, as of now, to look for those opportunities, even now or even here, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord. Thank you that you use us, Lord. And we pray all these things. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this time. Pray all these things in your name. Okay, thank you all. Hey, I have some, if you're physically here, I set up some prayer guides like on the wall back here. If you want to borrow one, but outside this room, you can take a look, different prayer guides if you're interested. And I will, for homework, I'm going to send you the prayer list. Okay, I'll email it to you all. If I don't, if you haven't been getting my emails, like please, maybe chat it here, like, actually, no, email me. I think everyone here has my email, so I'm not too concerned. But email me and I'll send you the homework. And basically it's to pray, so it's not too hard, so, okay?